Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Startup Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Conaway, founder and CEO of Innovate Her KC. And today's episode of Startup Hustle is powered by Fullscale.io. They can help you hire software developers easily. They can help you build a software team quickly and affordably. They have a platform to help you manage that team. Fullscale is there when you are ready to deploy software solutions. So definitely keep that in mind. Now, let's get to our guest. Very, very excited. We have actually tried this a couple times now. And so third time's a charm. We're going to get it. But we have a very, very fun guest today. Very excited to talk to Aliona because she gets really excited about data, friends. We're about to get real, real funky about some data. So thank you so much for being with us, Aliona. Aliona Misko is the CEO and founder of Fuel Finance, and we are so glad to have you here today.
Hi. Hi, Lauren. Nice to meet you.
So yes, this has been a long time coming. I'm very excited. So I'm just going to ask the question, and here it comes. Tell us about your journey.
Yeah, I think my journey has started, I believe, very early because, as I remember myself, I was always interested in math, in different calculations, in chess. Always tried to understand so how I can use it like in my daily life, and already being a student, I decided that finance is my real passion, and after that I decided already to build a company because I was working as financial analyst, as CFO, as financial director, and I was always doubt why really founders, entrepreneurs don't like finance. So it's so cool, and.
our listeners, the entrepreneurs listening at home, there's a large number of them who are like, all right, okay.
Yeah, I think all listeners now try to imagine all this like boring reports, not glamorous. Yeah. When I talk about finance, but it's not about that. It's about really cool data and insights that you can use really to manage your business completely in another way. And that's exactly what we built with Fuel. So we want really to make all founders fall in love with finance because it's possible. And you simply can achieve like the new next level of managing business with that.
Okay. And how does Fuel Finance push the envelope on that vision? So tell us about Fuel Finance. How does Fuel Finance empower entrepreneurs to fall in love with the accounting side of their business?
Fuel Finance is cloud financial department for startups. So we provide the product for revenue stage startups. And this product completely help, first of all, automate function of financial team for the early stage startups. And what is really important with our product, all startups and founders, they get all insights very fast. So what financial results they can get from which business metrics, so how they can make decisions, and everything in very obvious and beautiful way with beautiful dashboards, well designed, ready to use insights. And also we have very cool support for our customers of financial success managers who really very supportive to make it everything clear in this financial system for our customers.
All right. I have to admit, you make it sound kind of fun. So I'm halfway in, but now let's bring it home. And I want to tell us about how you kind of figured out how you wanted to attack the Fuel Finance problem. Like how did you take your experience and your inspiration and turn it into a viable business model? What was that process like?
I was working as financial analyst and financial director. And I remember that I had always this question. So why I should do this manual work every month with financial management? So usually you should do all these reports and plan actual analysis and even unit economics, so very often. But I found that all these processes, they are similar in different business models. For example, for marketplace startups, they have very similar financial system and very similar outputs that they should get, for example, from their financial system every week and every month. So with our team, we started to test this idea, simply building our product without code, but with the use of Google spreadsheets. And we simply started to build, based on our Google spreadsheets, these types of different systems. It was very crazy when first customers, they used this not ideal product at all. We understood that it was really efficient for them. So that product gave them value. And we saw how founders simply started to change after the first months of using this product. So they started to be more financially literate. They started to make another decisions. And already after this testing, we decided, okay, we should get our product team, we should hire engineers and start to build from that type of the product, already started to build more automated product with much more integrations with database and with everything like that. So we really started in very startup way with a very bad MVP without coding. But I now believe it was a very good idea because it helps us not to fundraise during the first years when we tested our idea. And it was a very cost-efficient way for us.
So that was quite a story. And thank you so much for sharing it with us. I love hearing your perspective as a founder on what it took to ideate and develop and iterate through this whole process. That's really cool. Now, I have to ask, I detect a little bit of an accent. Where are you calling from?
From Ukraine.
Yeah. So, and I'm really, really curious, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was, starting a business in the Ukraine. You're experiencing a volatile time right now, correct?
Yeah, correct. Completely every day, I think.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that? The process of starting a business in kind of societal turmoil and what has that been like?
Exactly like when the war started. So it was crazy because exactly for that day, for 24th of February, it was planned our launch of the new website. and we were working till midnight or even later. So when the war started, the first days were completely crazy, and it was like not the question about I think the business, it was already the question about safety of all team members, safety of friends, of family, and also like so the first days, and especially first week, was the most crazy for us. Already I think like after the first week we understood how to combine everything together. So how like to, the first priority was relocation and safety of all team members, and so we had like this priorities, and the first was safety. After that, the second was help Ukraine to win this war. So many our team members, they started to volunteer, and they still volunteering and help Ukraine win this war. And also we are working, so we developing, we are growing despite the war, and like despite everything. But it was completely crazy period of time, especially during the first weeks. Now it's also not so easy, because we all Ukrainians, and it really hurts every day. So every day we have news about new rockets, about new deaths, and it's simply complicated to stay in very energy way and with high energy, but we try to do it, and we do our best now, because we understand also that it's very important not only like win this war with our military forces, but we also believe it's very important to win this war economically also.
Yeah.
So we should hire more people, we should grow, we should pay salaries, we should donate to military forces, pay taxes, and everything. All of this is important really to win this war.
Yeah. How are you? I have to ask, are you mentally sound, spiritually happy? Are you okay?
Spiritually, I think, yeah. So balancing, yeah, we are fighting and trying to hang on. But yeah, but like today is also was the day one more additional rocket at the center of Ukraine, and simply three children died. And like it's I couldn't say it's okay, because you simply read this news and you try to understand, okay, I read this news, but now I should go and do my work. So it's, I don't have time really to, like, to have some time to be upset or something like that, because yeah, it's really important to do the job and still growing. So, yeah, I think it's something like that now.
Yeah. Well, I want to just take a moment to, I wanted to take a moment to honor the fact that you are here, you're sharing your story, and you're going through something that is really, really awful. I mean, I know that many, many across the globe have watched what's happening in the Ukraine, and just been horrified and so, you know, worried and sad for you. And actually, folks, the first time we set up to record this episode, we were having some technical difficulties. And I was like, is that, you know, was there something interfering with signals where she's at? So I've actually been thinking about you, like, for the past 4 days, like, okay, I hope she's okay. Like, and I mean, that's nothing. That's a drop in the bucket. Like, living with that kind of fear so close, I imagine it must be very oppressive. And so I want to honor that you're doing a very hard thing. I want to thank you for being so vulnerable with us today. You are just a person who lives in her truth. And so it's been an honor to have you share that with us. So thank you. And now let's get back to the business. So I'm just going to ask, you know, what are the next steps for Fuel Finance?
Oh, the next steps, like, keep growing.
Okay, all right.
Brilliant company.
That's a good goal.
Yeah, it's a goal. And I think, like, the main goal is simply change change financial sphere because I'm very passionate about this idea. So I see how, like, I see how founders really can improve their business management and like their financial management with much better product. And it's exactly what motivates me, I think, like do this job every day. So when I hear like this feedback from our customers that it's completely another way what they have now with our product, and they finally don't have this financial chaos and everything is very clear. And I think, like, for me, it's very important feedback, and it really motivates me do this, like, better and better our product every day. And I think it's, like, that's our next step, develop the product as we can. And maybe in some ways that we really haven't imagined yet, but it will be, like, much cooler. And also the next step, really hire more Ukrainians, and also, like, I don't know, so we are profitable startup, and like it's not something usual for startups, but for me it's also important part because from our profits we can also, like, donate to support Ukraine, and it's exactly what we do. So that's why, like, I believe so we have, like, several missions what's next. So growing the business, improve our products, have more customers, happy customers with better financial management, and also help Ukraine win. So I think we have many challenges.
Yeah, well, so one of the things that I'm hearing in that, folks, you know, if you want to find a way to contribute to, you know, the social movement of what's happening in the Ukraine, support Ukrainians, definitely look into supporting Ukrainian owned business like Fuel Finance. That's a that's a way that you can support as well. So definitely keep that in mind, folks. You know, one of the things that you said, and it was, I loved how directly you said it, but you said much better product, like Fuel Finance is just a much better product, that, and I love that. But I want to talk to us about that competitive analysis. Like, what did you do when you were developing Fuel Finance? What did you do to set yourself apart from your competitors? Like, what's your differentiator?
Oh, yeah. Like, I think I simply make market research permanently. But at the start, I made, I think, 30 interviews with different founders of startups, like during 1 month, to understand what key challenges they have with their finance. On the other hand, I did market research about different tools, what we have on the market to manage finance. And I was, like, shocked because, okay, here I have, like, 30 founders. And on the other hand, I have, like, number of different financial tools to manage finance. And I have some gap here because founders, when I talked with founders, all of them, like, use Excel docs, Google spreadsheets, and not some automatical products. In 90% of all cases. And on the other hand, like, market is overloaded. And in that way, I started to think, okay, it's maybe we have some more complicated problem than simply providing, I don't know, some tool where you can build beautiful graphs and get, like, I don't know, cash flow projection, or only get financial planning, or I don't know, like, get, like, expense control. So that's why I believe this problem with good financial management is much more complicated. It's more about automation of the role of financial managers and financial teams for revenue stage startup. And I think it's exactly what we built. So we don't provide the product where a founder should think what graph they should build. So I believe that it's not a good way to provide freedom in that way for founders, in sure. A good way. So I believe
you.
Yeah. They shouldn't do all these reports and think about what graph I should build or what metric should analyze now. And that's exactly how we are different. So we provide already best practice for specific business models. So for example, we have 4 solutions now for e-commerce, for SaaS marketplaces, and professional service startups. And for each of this business model, we have individual solution with individual dashboard output metrics and what should be controlled. And also we have very detailed ways. So the main, like, as we know, the main for startups is revenue and achieve revenue and growth. And on the other hand, also control cash, especially now during this downturn. And like when we talk about the revenue, so we have very detailed level in our system, how you should control your revenue. So starting from number of leads planned and actual conversion rates, cost of acquisition, plan of your customer, actual number of your customer, and finally, like, revenues that you will get. So we have very detailed way how you should control, like, your business, what business metrics you should control to get, like, your revenue, planned revenue in the end of the month. And I think it's how we differentiate from all other customers. So we provide a very full system without need of founder to be involved in some manual work or set up some financial system. So we have the best practice that we give simply founders to use and simply with ready to use recommendations and insights inside the system.
That's incredible. I love it's because really it's specialization and customization for your clients, like an understanding that each type of business, the needs are going to be unique. And so you're able to kind of cater to that, which I love. It also reminds me of today's episode sponsor, Fullscale.io. They are fantastic at helping you come up with custom solutions that are going to work for you when you're trying to build out your development team. Finding expert software developers doesn't have to be hard. When you visit Fullscale.io, you can build a software team quickly, affordably. They are so efficient. I have heard so much feedback from their clients, like, they just love them. Use the Fullscale platform to define your technical needs and then see what available developers, testers, and leaders are ready to join your team. Visit fullscale.io to learn more. Folks, we are here with Aliona Misko, CEO of Fuel Finance, and we're talking about a lot of different stuff. We're kind of hopping around a little bit, but I'm going to kick us back off with, I want to hear a little bit more about that product development piece. Like, you kind of talked about how you got there, but as you were getting all of this feedback, because it sounds like you were looking for a lot of different feedback mechanisms from potential clients, like, what are the pain points? Which is awesome. That's a great place to start. But, like, once you got to the actual definition, did you put a team in place? Did you hire a bunch of people to help? Like, what was that process like?
Do you mean, like, process about feedback from customers?
Yeah, how you actioned that feedback, like building out your team of developers and ideating, you know, did you do storyboards? Did you do wireframes? Like, what did that look like?
Oh, we have, like, very, I think, standardized ways. So of building, like, our product. So first of all, we built all features based really on customers' feedback. And we have the same process as it was, like, previously. So first of all, like, we built very easy first MVP. For example, we decided that we should have additional feature to our product. We simply built it, like, on Google spreadsheets. We tested it on our customers. And we got feedback. We got feedback after that. So if it was useful or not useful, where it was okay for them, where it was not okay for them. And we have these financial success managers who are also, like, they are, like, part of this process. So they get usually they get this feedback. And we have these meetings where we analyzed all this feedback from customers and all features that were tested. And after that, we simply analyze, okay, how many of our customers have the same problem? Is this, like, part should be implemented to our product? And if we decide that yes, and we tested already this idea, for example, on Google spreadsheet, so we decided to automate this part. and implement these parts already in our like financial system and make it like in all our products for all customers. So it's exactly like the process how we build and test all these ideas now. And I believe it's like very, I think it's very efficient way. So we simply do, we don't do like work and features which are not useful for our customers. So we based our like product map and built our product map based on our experience working with customers.
Yeah. Oh man, I love your approach. Like it's driven by empathy and yet it's very systematic. That was fabulous. Now so Fuel Finance already has clients, like customers, traction. Talk to us about your go-to-market strategy. Like once you had the product developed and you were ready to deploy, what did that look like?
Oh yeah, like we are a little bit crazy about that. So I think like during the previous year, I was the one person who is responsible for sales and marketing, and like it was a little bit crazy. And now we already hired our first head of marketing. But go to market. So we tested many ideas. So first of all, like as I have financial background. And I was also mentor at different accelerators, financial mentor. And we tested ideas with go-to-market with different financial workshop. And it was like based also on my passion, like to share my experience and knowledge about finance. And we made like online workshops earlier, and we still make these online workshops. And I simply sharing like my experience how to manage finance in startups. And I believe it's a good strategy when we talk about go to market, and especially a good strategy to share like content part, especially in finance where everything is so much complicated. So when really founders can get very easy information and in a very fun way also, it can be like, not only about go to market, so it's first of all about sharing experience and knowledge, but also in additional way, it can be like a lead, like a source of leads, but very efficient because it's about building communication and about building communication network and simply like. Sharing this experience, and I believe in that way of building go-to-market.
Yeah. I mean, clearly you've just put so much thought and research behind every step along the trail. Now, we have already talked about the challenges of trying to operate a business during a war. And so I'm not going to ask about that, but I'm going to ask you, what are some of the greatest challenges that you've come up against? You know, you seem to be pretty methodical in how in your approach to things. That's great. But like, what were those challenges?
Oh, I think like, it's already our second crisis at Fuel Finance. Because the first one was the COVID.
Sure.
And as we were profitable all the time and we did a fundraise, so it was always a challenge when you get like some crisis, and especially for example like it was when the war started. So we had half of our customers, they were like Ukrainian companies before the war. Now we have like completely another situation. So we have much like 60% of our customers from the US, but it was crazy because when the war started, so these Ukrainian customers simply paused their subscription. And it was like very short periods of time to understand how to manage everything. So pay salaries and simply like cover with our current revenue, which is already 2x decrease, cover with this revenue, our expenses, salaries, and still growing. So with much less budgets. And it was really a crazy challenge, I think. And it's already, I believe it was second time. So the first one was something similar, I believe, during the COVID. And now, like, we already have higher revenues than it was before the war. So, and it's crazy. And so we are, like, understand how to grow, like, 3 times faster than it was before the war with like 2 times less budgets. So it was like a very interesting challenge and experience for me. And I think very valuable experience.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think that overcoming adversity, and you've certainly had to overcome more than most and more than is fair or right. And I'm so sorry, but, one of the things about overcoming adversity is that it makes you more flexible and it makes you more more tolerant to risk. And it makes you, you know, all of these things that an entrepreneur just truly, truly needs to be and should be. And so, you know, you're getting quite a workout there. Too much, I would say. But yeah. Tell us about you as an entrepreneur. I'm just really interested. Like, have you always been so directed and purposeful?
No. I think yes.
If that's like an embarrassing question, we can move off it real quick. I'll just be like, no, it's fine. I didn't mean to ask that. What I meant to say was, how do you feel about the color blue? You know, we could do something like that. but I'm just really interested. Like, I mean, were you always an entrepreneurial kid? Like, I know, I imagine that you said that you always loved math and you always loved, you know, data and things like that. So I know that. But like, what else did you like? What else did you get into when you were a kid?
I think like I was always trying to do different things. So I was always interested. So as a kid, I had many hobbies always. So yeah. I was
and
playing
they changed
chess.
A bunch? Like they did, you weren't like, it wasn't all of them all the time?
I think like there were some periods with these hobbies. And I remember like playing chess, playing saxophone, like drawing pictures, and especially like it's very crazy, but I spent like 8 years to draw. Like, we have this Ukrainian national type of drawings. It's named like Petrikivka paintings, and okay. It's very old type of paintings, and I really master of that, and it's really it's really crazy. But I remember myself always like from two sides. On the one hand, I was like data driven person, always interested like in math, chess. But on the other hand, I always had this like some art parts. I don't know,
like a creative side.
Yeah, like creative side about music, drawings, and everything like that. So, and I even tried myself to be like some way playing in theater. So,
oh man. Well, I gotta tell you, that is so interesting to me that you're like right, you're amber-brained, you're right-left-brained, and that's really cool. Because I am fascinated by people who can use both sides of their brains like that. In fact, I have a book that I'm gonna write someday. It's in my head. It's called Polymath.
Oh.
About people like you who can get like really, really into very different divergent disciplines, you know. So like over here you're doing music, which is connected to math, and you're really good at math, but then you're also really good at art. And like, people like that fascinate me. That is super cool. I love that. So you're a polymath. Congratulations. I know that. I may bug you for an interview at some point. That's interesting. What else? What else? I'm just curious, like what drives you?
Oh, I like I'm also swimming. So I was a cross continental swimmer in Bosphor. Swimming 6 kilometers, and I'm still swimming several times per week, and also swim at open water, and I'm also like was a fan of Thai boxing, so yeah. I think I had so many hobbies so from different ways, and but it's very cool because I like open for myself that having different hobbies, it's like you need like in some period of time, I don't know, some superpower, and from each of these hobbies, so I can take exactly that superpower that I need now. And so I also love skating and also like surfing. So and I like that, like I can in different periods of time, so I can like use that hobby that I need now.
Yeah. That is super cool. I am fascinated by this. So there are a bunch of studies out there that at least here in the States, that people who were athletes, they tend to become business leaders much more frequently than any other like demographic subgroup. So like people who get accustomed to taking part in team sports, so, you know, you learn teamwork and collaboration, you learn how to fail and how to lose and how to, you know, get experimental and work well within a team. And so like, that's always been fascinating to me that, and so like, here you are, you're like clearly very into an active lifestyle. And then it's like, oh yeah, that it tracks that she's also a founder and CEO and a total data cheerleader. You're a data geek a little bit. You know that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really a data geek.
You're a data geek. And that's something to wear with pride.
Yeah. But for sure, I have even like, you know, I have even plan for a week calculated in hours and in tasks. So I have like my specific Google sheet for that. Oh my God. I really made this analysis in the end of the week, like planned hours, actual hours spent on different tasks. And I even sometimes like build graphs to understand where I spend my time more. So.
Yeah.
What is the dynamic? So I think like I try, but it's very efficient. It's very cool. I believe that like from this data, data-based analysis, and also from financial side, I use many different features simply in very basic life and with a very, I don't know, with everyday life experience. So like planning of tasks and hours and simply like that, and so, especially with personal finance also.
Well, all right, so we've gotten some insight into your mind, and I'm gonna ask for a little bit more insight into your mind, because we have come upon our time for the human question. So I'm gonna ask you a goofy question that has nothing to do with anything that we've just talked about. And the question is going to be, what's your favorite dinosaur?
Oh my gosh, dinosaur.
It could be like a specific dinosaur, like the Tyrannosaurus Rex from Jurassic Park, or I'm trying to think.
Oh,
of
like I remember
the, or like the Flintstones dinosaur, the dinosaur.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
the
yeah,
dog.
Yeah. I remember.
Dino. There you go.
Yeah, like T Rex.
Yeah, or it could just be like, so like my favorite type of, Triceratops is my favorite. I love that.
What?
Triceratops, they've got the three horns and like the rock.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, if we actually have multiple Triceratops statues and like paintings and pictures around our house, because I
love them. Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, it's part of our daycare. So how about you? What's your favorite dinosaur?
I don't know. I think that like from that films that I remember, maybe I really, you know, like I really, to be honest, I Googled it now. So
okay, all right. It's okay. We'll forgive it just this one time.
Yeah,
but next time you and I chat, and we're gonna have to have another chat. But next time you and I chat, I'm gonna ask you, and you're gonna be very confidently, my favorite dinosaur is X, and you have to fill in the blank. So that's my challenge to you. All right. Sure. Well, Aliona, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, sharing your favorite dinosaur, but most importantly, hearing so authentically of all of your experiences. Thank you so much. Wish you
luck. Thank you so much, Lauren.
Yeah, thank you for being here. If there's anything that I can do to help you out, let me know. But lots of love coming to you and to your fellow countrymen and women from this side of the globe. All right, friends, speaking of episode sponsors, because I know that we were speaking of them, today's episode sponsor is Full Scale. Do you need to hire software engineers, testers, or leaders? Full Scale can definitely help. They have people and they have a whole platform that will help you build and manage a team of experts and take that off your plate. Visit fullscale.io and all you need to do is answer a few questions. The platform will match you up with a fully vetted, highly experienced team of software engineers, testers, and leaders. They're going to help you out. They specialize in building long-term teams at Full Scale that work only for you. So learn more when you visit fullscale.io. Friends, also want you to take a look at some of the Startup Hustle TV episodes we have up on our YouTube channel, up on our Facebook, in the Facebook chat group. We want to share Startup Hustle TV with you. You get to see Startup Hustle hosts like myself and some other rock stars kind of make fools of ourselves, but also kind of kick ass. So definitely check that out. We are so grateful, friends, that you come back at us week after week. Please keep on listening, subscribe, share. We love telling entrepreneur stories to you and you make it possible. Keep on coming back and we will catch you on the flip side.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.